We have already prayed for the Lord's help as we come to his word. And again, as we look at Luke chapter 6, we need the Lord's help because Jesus is teaching his disciples, his followers, to live in countercultural ways. We've seen from Luke chapter 6, verse 20 onwards, the great difference that Jesus is making to his disciples as he tells to them that they are to live and in a way that is opposite to the world. The world loves wealth and security and significance in their own eyes, and wealth and security and significance in the eyes of God. Oh, I have lots of things to offer God, often you'll hear non-Christians say, quite proud of their own achievements, maybe going to a church occasionally. They come with great wealth, they think towards God, but no, Jesus is driving us the other way. That which the world grasps and longs for and looks after, Jesus says, no. We are to live lives before him with great humility, coming before him broken in spirit, empty-handed, trusting in him, hungry for him. You see the big difference. And from verse 27 onwards, well, it possibly gets worse for us because he tells us we're to love as God has loved us, loving not just the unlovely, but a particular kind of unlovely person, even our enemies. And why should we do this? Because this is the love God the Father has showed us, from verses 35 and 36. Because he is grateful and he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked and merciful to us. And last week we heard the words of Jesus that we are to live lives not in judgmentally condemning others, but first and foremost looking at and judging ourselves. You remember the plank in our own eye. Oh, don't be worried about trying to pick the speck of sin out of your brother's eye. First, look at yourself and understand the significance and hugeness of the sin in your own life. Oh, that's counterculturally. We like to cover up our sins. We think, actually, that criticising the sins in other people makes us look better. Condemning them. Well, we are to examine ourselves. There have been many times in my life where I've tried to help a brother to see his abrasiveness to other people. And, you know, I became so frustrated with him that I became as abrasive to him as I was accusing him of being to others. It's very easy to fall into this. So Galatians 6 verse 1 tells us, if anyone who is spiritual, go to your brother to restore him and do it gently and be careful lest you be tempted or lest you be tested in the same way. Oh, we're to live lives that are unhypocritical. And that's what Jesus is driving us as his followers to be living. He wants to impact us in a far deeper way than just the mere moral externals which we might be able to fool or to show other people. He wants us to deal with our hearts. And I don't mean the thing that's pumping our blood around in our body, nor do I mean the seat of our emotions, but the heart being that which is you. From which all of your desires and dreams and strategies and directions and that which controls you. That's what Jesus is addressing here. He wants you. He wants me. He's not just on about doing the right thing externally. He wants you. I was talking to my next door neighbour yesterday over a cup of coffee, and we're back onto Bush Reserve. I've got slides up here. Oh, they're doing it for me. Thank you very much. We're back onto Bush Reserve. We'll see in a minute. And I had a cup of coffee with my next door neighbour. And, you know, he said, and I've shared Jesus with him for many, many years, but, you know, he said, you know, I think Christianity is just all about living and doing the good and the right thing. Ah, okay. Well, it's far deeper than that. It's far more life-changing than that. Our response is to Jesus as a person. Our relationship with God is through Jesus. It's not just about being a moral person. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. He's saying that if you're not connecting with me, if you are not in me, the fruit of your life will eventually be seen for what it is. That's the point of verses 43 to 45, and they're just the verses that we're looking at today. Firstly, Jesus says, what we are at our core, our heart, will show itself in our conduct. And he uses this agricultural illustration. It actually flows out of the previous section of not being hypocritical, for, and that's how verse 43 starts in the original, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognised by its fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The illustration is quite simple. Whatever you are at your core, so the fruit will be produced. Now, this is God's intention for his people from the beginning of time. You may remember from Isaiah chapter 5 that God called Israel, his people, his vine, and he was the vine dresser. He was the one that cultivated and looked after them, but they did not produce good fruit. Why? Because they ignored God and they rejected his rule. Even when God called out to them, they didn't even hear his voice or even know who it was, because so far did they remove themselves from him. And fast track all the way through the Old Testament prophets, calling again his people, God's people, back to devotion and love for God. Fast track to even John the Baptist, who came before Jesus. And what does John the Baptist say to the Israel, to God's people? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. If you say you're a follower of God and you've turned from your sin to follow him, then live lives in keeping with that. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And Jesus himself, as we follow him, is the one who does this. Remember Jesus' words, I am the vine, I am the true vine, I am the true Israel. And we, as we come to him, are the branches. Paul in Romans writes that we as non-Israelites now are grafted in to the vine, grafted in. And it's obvious when we come to Jesus, we are connected with God. He gives us his Holy Spirit. The change starts to take place that we would bear fruit for God's glory. That's why we were made. That's what we were made for the glory of God. Jesus says we need to abide in him. Come to him, stay with him, remain in him. And when we come and stay and remain in him, he comes and stays and remains in us. And we are branches then, bearing fruit for him. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, Jesus says, for apart from me you can do nothing. Here's the thing. If we're connected to Jesus, then we will produce fruit in keeping with that relationship. Each tree is recognised by the fruit that it bears. Now, I have plenty of trees at home. That's my backyard, part of it. It takes quite a while to mow the lawn. But anyway, I've got lots of trees, and I'm a bush care coordinator, so I do know my privets from my orange trees and my lantanas from my lemons. But some trees are not so easy to see. Now, lemon and orange, what's the difference? But when they start to fruit, then you can see the difference. Because when fruiting time comes, it's obvious which are the lemon trees and the orange trees and so on and so forth. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. See, it's the tree that's significant. It's the tree that produces the fruit, and each tree is recognised by the fruit that it bears. The fruit on the outside reveals the type of tree. Now, you might think that you're a very scrupulous person, even relentless in criticising other people in morality. You might think that you're a very moral person yourself. You might be the one who does try to take the speck of dust out of your brother's eye, and think that you are very moral and good living. But friends, what Jesus wants is relationship with him. What is the charge at the end of on the judgment day? Jesus will say to those who aren't connected to him, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's connection with him that he's after. He's not after us putting on the morality in our lives for others to see and go, "Wow, isn't he a good living person?" No, Jesus wants to transform us from the inside and then to produce the good fruit that he prepared for us to do. I remember a time a couple of years ago now in Canberra when we were walking around at the Floriade Flower Festival. You try saying that hard. Floriade Flower Festival. Anyway, I remember asking my daughter, who was probably about 7 or 8 at the time, I had a video camera, and said, "Sarah, you tell us where we are." And I told her, and she said, "We're at the Floriade Flower Festival." And she had, I think she's still trying to say it, but anyway, we were down at the Floriade Flower Festival, and anyway, this tree was it was here. You can tell how old it was by the pixelations of the picture here. It was a dead stump with branches on it, but it had all this lovely fruit tied to it with the bits of wire. And you might have, at a distance, looked at that and say, "That's pretty impressive. It's got oranges and apples and other lemons all on the same tree." But when you get up close, you see it's just a fake. There's nothing there. It's just tied on. And what Jesus is saying here is, examine yourselves. Don't be content with just living a moral life. The real life that you have to live, the real challenge for us today is, are we connected with Jesus? Because only then will we bear fruit for his glory. If we're not doing it for his glory, we're doing it for our glory. We're tying the fruit of morality onto our tree so that people will be impressed with us. And that's not what Jesus is calling his disciples to do. He does not want hypocritical, fake disciples. I don't know if you've ever been to China, but we had a lovely time in China. And if you want to buy a watch, it's a good place to go. We went through this store. We had a lovely time. And what you can't see here is that on the other side of that white board was another shopkeeper with my other arm and me saying to Sally, "Take a photograph. I'll use this in a sermon one day." No, sorry. Anyway, I did buy a Rolex there for $250. I understand they go for thousands. I could be wrong. That's $2.50, I should say. Now, I'm not sure, but it could have been a fake. It might not have been. I'm not sure. But anyway, I didn't ask them. It's lost in translation. I couldn't get. Anyway, God does not want fake followers. He wants real, authentic followers. Jesus wants us to be connected with him, producing fruit for his glory. And if your outward good living, which is a fine thing to do, but if it's not flowing from a life grounded and founded in Jesus, if you're not grafted into him, then Jesus, regrettably, at the end of time, will say, "I never knew you." And what a great shame that would be for you, living and bearing the wrong sort of fruit. So if you're not a Christian here today, can I encourage you to come to Jesus? For he will change your life to be a life bearing the good fruit that God has in store for you. Starting with the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the gentleness and the kindness and the self-control. So stop playing the game. Stop saying it's all about just living a good life. It's about connection with the vine and producing fruit in keeping with that. Well, we not only see our conduct here on view, but we also see our conversation here on view. Verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good fruit, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. It's not just our conduct on view. It's also our conversation that Jesus wants to radically transform. The words that we speak. James in his letter reminds us of the importance of the tongue. He writes, it's only a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts and it can do immense damage. Think of it. Think of the great forest fires that are set on fire by just a small spark, the toss of the cigarette out of the window. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, spreading. Then he goes on to write, with the tongue we praise the Lord, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. He writes, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Can a salt water spring produce fresh water? No, these are the words that Jesus is saying. Again, highlighting the importance of the use of our tongue. And if we are to live authentically for Jesus, then he'll be transforming not just our conduct, but also our conversation. Unhypocritical, authentic lives. And think about it as we read through Luke chapter 6. That's just exactly how we see Jesus living. We see Jesus loving his enemies, Jesus blessing them, not cursing them, Jesus praying for them, even when he's dying on the cross. He is the real thing. So we ought to examine ourselves and test ourselves, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. A broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. A heart that's ready and willing to see sin and deal with it. The significance of the heart can be seen in chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil thing out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Our hearts are fundamental to this. We all have a problem with our heart, our orientation of our life. But God doesn't want us to tinker with the externals of morality, but he wants to deal with our hearts. That's what our Old Testament reading was all about. Looking forward to a time when God will deal with our hearts of, or his people's hearts of stone. I will take from you a heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh, I'll put my spirit in you, you will then obey and keep my laws. That's what God wants to do, change our hearts, give us a heart transplant. And when he does change our hearts, then as we've been saying, we will bear his fruit and we will speak for his glory. So how's your heart? How's our fruit? How's our conduct? How's our conversation? Are we connecting with Jesus? I'm not talking about pulling your moral socks up or making a resolution at the end of this meeting. I'm talking about do you know Jesus? Are you connected to him? Because when you are, he will begin this change of which he speaks in his disciples. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let me ask you, what happens? What happens to you when you're bumped? Suppose your heart and your life is a glass of water, and you get bumped and you get jostled. What flows out? What flows out of your mouth? What flows out of your life? It's very easy to say when everything's going well, oh, I follow Jesus. Oh, yes, he's my Lord. Oh, yes, I will die for him. But when we get bumped by the ferocity sometimes of this life, what flows out? Because Jesus is saying, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you feel self-righteous when you're bumped by others? Do you feel maybe condemning of the other person? Do you bite back? Are you easily hurt? Are you bitter towards others? Are you bitter towards God? Do you curse others? Do you curse God? Or at least complain bitterly against him and never quite see his sovereign goodness? Do you demand answers? What flows out of your life when you get bumped? I want to tell you of a dear lady from 10 a.m. Many of you would know her. Diana Coos. Within the last 10 days, been diagnosed with extremely serious cancer. I would call her life as one who's been severely bumped and jostled and shaken and tossed and even turned upside down. What's flowed out? What has flowed out of this lady? Why me? Curse God? If this is God, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I can't take him anymore. What flowed out of Diana Coos? I've spent much time with this dear family over the last week. And what's flowed out of her is, I want to give glory to God in my life. What's flowed out of her is, I want to honour Jesus. What's flowed out of her is, I'm hanging on to the sovereignty of God. What's flowed out of her is, I'm hanging on to the goodness of God, and isn't he good? The radiographer, when she saw her scan, actually burst into tears. She said to Diana, I'm sorry, this is very unprofessional. And the way Diana responded showed her trust in the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God, so much so that this radiographer kept coming back to her throughout last week, saying, there's something that you have that I don't have, and I need to examine myself. What flowed out of Diana Coos? She shared Jesus with her. She told her about the Saviour. She told her about her Lord. She told her about her relationship with God. She told her about God's comforting presence. She told her about her future, that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. Out of the treasure of her heart came the good. What happens when you get bumped? What flows out of your life? The treasure that we have is the good news of Jesus. That's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are just jars of clay, broken and crumbling, but we have a treasure within. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Are we taking that treasure out? Does that treasure of our love for the Lord flow over when we get bumped? Or is all the world sees is your own bitterness and mine, and complaining over the most petty of things? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Surely these verses must drive us back to Jesus, the one who has reminded us that we need to come before the Lord broken and empty-handed, poor in spirit, hungry for him. Surely these verses need to drive us back to Jesus so we see the love of God demonstrated, so that we in turn will be able to love others, even our enemies, for this is how our Heavenly Father has loved us. Surely these verses need to drive us back to searching our own hearts, to realise we need to stop being condemning of others, to see our own sin first. But then in turning to Jesus, seeing the great assurance that we have and that great treasure that he has put in each and every one of us who love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn again unfilled to you as we've just sung, and asking that you will take us and change us. Remove our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh that love you, that beat to your rhythm, that have you as our desire. Help us, Lord, to have our lives built on the solid rock of Jesus, that even when the largest of bumps come our way, that which flows out will be all glory and praise and honour to him.